Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we are coming to part three of three, asking the question again, is LGBTQ good for the USA? As I think about the past few decades in our nation, we have had a multitude of individuals, churches, schools, universities, sports franchises, corporations, politicians, and what have they been doing? They have come to accept, support, and or participate in the LGBTQ movement. So some questions as we begin part three today. First of all, is that a good trend for our nation? Now, many people think it is, and more people are jumping on the bandwagon here, going in that direction. Where does God stand on the topic? Very important question. It's not what we think, it's not how we feel, but rather we have to go to the Word of God to know where He stands on that topic or on any topic. Is the growing support within our nation, do you think that's moving God more to bless our nation or more to curse our nation or to pull back the blessing that He has placed upon our nation for a long, long time? And then finally, we want to make sure we're thinking about this reality. Has God made the way for everyone, no matter who they are, no matter how far away they are, no matter how evil they are? Has God made the way for everyone to receive His gift of forgiveness? Let us be certain that the answer there is yes. What I want to do now is I want to do a quick review here of parts one and two, and then we'll get to part three. So going back to parts one and two, we concluded that about 75 years ago, now we could even go back 100 years ago, but there were some more distinct things about 75 years ago where our government began to reject the Almighty God. I mean, think about the foolishness of that. Here we are, blessed so much for 170 years through the Almighty God, and yet we decide, oh, we don't want that anymore. Let's get rid of the Almighty God. Let's go our own way. Let's do our own thing. How foolish was that? Now we find ourselves very far away from the Almighty God in many respects as a nation. We talked about some basic Bible truth, which is important. Let's always know that God made the world, God made us, God established each nation, God sustains each nation, God gave certain instructions saying, this is absolutely right, this is absolutely wrong. Because God is God, He is the one who should be determining what is right and what is wrong, not what we think, not what we feel. And then, of course, again, He made the way to eternal life. Let's be honest, we're not pointing the finger at other people all the time. Let's understand, all of us are poor, miserable sinners. Every single person in the world is in need of Jesus Christ. It's not like we're better than other people and we don't need Jesus. We are in grave trouble too, but through Him, we have such great blessings now and forever. Let's always rejoice in that. We talked about the founding of our nation, how many of the people who founded our nation, they were Christian people, and many of our laws, they were connected to God's holy word. That's how we began a long time ago. And then we slowly canceled God. So if you think about the years here, from 1962 to 1987, 25 years, we have five major things going on there that I want to point out that fit together. So within our public school systems, within our nation, we said, no longer can you pray, no longer can you read the Bible, no longer can you display the Ten Commandments, no longer can you teach creation, no longer can you teach that there's even a God. So think about that, pushing all of that out over that 25-year period of time. And then think about all the young people who went through school during those years. What were they being indoctrinated in? They were missing out on the foundation of who we are as a nation. And now we shouldn't be surprised that our world is in quite a mess today because we took all of that away. And then we add in here, legalizing the murder of babies, and then we also added in somewhat recently requiring that LGBTQ history be taught in our schools. So we took out everything good, and then we're adding in things that are so wicked and so disgusting in the sight of God. I'm so surprised that we are still blessed as we are today as a nation. But I think, though, there are a lot of people saying peace, peace, when there really is none, because we are so vulnerable as a nation, and yet I don't think most people realize how vulnerable we are. So many people are thinking, oh, here we are, such a great nation. Nothing can happen to us. What's going on? We are trusting in ourselves. We are not trusting in the Almighty God. Look in the Bible. Whenever Israel trusted in themselves, it did not turn out well. It only turned out well when they were trusting in the Almighty God. And then we become so confused, but we shouldn't be surprised by that. When we get rid of God, then the confusion comes right in. So when it comes to teaching evolution, what are we teaching to people? We are saying there is no God, there is no true right and wrong, life has no purpose, and there is no eternity. Isn't that going to like mess people up to teach them that? And yet so many people have bought into that today. Or with abortion, we're saying life is not a precious gift from God. So your life isn't important. Preborn babies, their lives aren't important. Older people, their lives aren't important. That's kind of the world that we're living in, isn't it? And then with marriage, oh yeah, sex before marriage, that's fine. Same-sex marriage, that's fine. Go for it. And many people agree with that. Many people are participating in it, and they think it's fine. And then what about with gender? Because there is no God, then really there is no gender. So whatever you decide you want to identify as, that's okay with the world. We took a quick look last week at this man born Will Thomas. You can look last week to see what we said there. We looked at the example of ancient Israel, how God told them what to do, and it's going to work out great. They did it for a while. They pulled back. Eventually, God pushed them out of their nation. Aren't we heading on a similar track here in the United States of America? We concluded that opposing God is never going to turn out well. If we do that as an individual, if our congregation decided to do that, if our church body decided to do that, when our community here that we live in has decided to do that, when our nation has decided to do that, we are headed in a really bad direction, because in so many ways we are opposing the Almighty God. And then we got into the results of canceling God. This is also last week then. So we talked about how in war we are losing. For so long we were winning almost every war, and then for so long now we basically have been losing every war. We shouldn't be surprised. When we get rid of God, He's the one that determines the winner and the loser, and when we get rid of God, we should expect to be losing. And that's what has happened. Traditional families are sharply declining. Church membership is sharply dropping. Look at that. From 2000 at 70% down to 2020, we're all the way down to 47%. Imagine if we go another 20 years forward, we're going to be down to about 20% of the people in America being connected to a church. And of course, we can't say much good about many churches today, even if they are connected. Does that really mean anything? Is that really going to help them? We took a look at how violent crime is so much increasing, a 400% increase over that 31-year period of time, and probably much higher today. But think about it, though. When you remove prayer, you remove the Bible, you remove the Ten Commandments, you remove God. So should we be surprised then that violent crime is out of control? It all fits together, doesn't it? And then think about with LGBTQ self-identification, that is exploding. It is up 2,600% over a short period of time. The United States of America is ebbing its way toward becoming the next Sodom. Sodom was a great city. We are a great nation, and yet we are becoming more and more like Sodom. It's a very sad thing. I don't know how our nation can be so blinded to where we were versus where we are now and where we are headed if we continue on this course. We took a look last week at the great and wicked city of Sodom, possibly the greatest city in the world at that time. And yet God was so disgusted with what was going on there. Not only did God destroy the city, but the destruction of Sodom was possibly like the destruction of no other great city in the history of the world. Because God said he would do it, God personally did it. And if you take a look at the work of Dr. Stephen Collins, who is the archaeologist who founded the location of Sodom and has been excavating that area for the past 18 years, the devastation he is finding there is like no other archaeological dig that he has ever done in all of the Middle East in the last number of decades. It is different because God did something really radical to Sodom. God was saying, I'm disgusted with this, and I'm going to do something really huge. And yet we live in a world today where many people deny that Sodom is even a true account in the Bible. God wants us to know by all means it is true, and God wants us to avoid anything to do with Sodom. We also took a look last week trying to see a parallel between the second half of Romans chapter 1 and then the USA. So this is the pattern. We deny God as creator. We profess to be wise. In reality, we become fools. There is no God, so we begin to worship created things. And what does God do then? In Romans, what is God doing to us today? He is giving us over to LGBTQ and to many, many other sins as well. It's not just that one. I mean, I am pointing that out a bit in this series, but there are so many others that are a huge problem. Now we come to our new information today. We're beginning part three. So taking a look here, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. So we have a warning from God. So he says, do not be deceived. And then he has 10 different sins listed here. And he's saying, do not be deceived. Such people who continue in any one of these without repentance will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, so many of these are just so common in the world today. Now, I went into this in detail last summer in that reality check series. You can jump back there and see more about what I said on this passage. But take a look at it, though. St. Paul wrote, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I put the two in red there that are dealing with the topic of LGBTQ, but notice, so there are eight other ones that people might think, well, those must be okay then. No, by no means, those are not okay. God is making it clear, if anyone is going to continue in any of it, and the key is without repentance, then they will not be with God forever in eternal bliss. Keep in mind here, Paul is writing to Christians living in Corinth. Corinth was a very wicked place at that time, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, a number of people had been brought to faith in Christ. But Paul wanted to clarify to them, hey guys, I know you were involved in all kinds of rotten sins prior to being converted, but don't think that you can continue in those sins now that you are converted and somehow you're going to be okay. See, that's the world we live in today. Oh, I trust in Jesus and I think I'm fine and I can kind of do whatever I want and it's going to be okay. Well, no, that's what Paul is saying here. Don't think that. Do not be deceived. Let me give you a little bit of good news. We need a break here, don't we? A little bit of good news. The very next verse. So the very next verse, notice what it says, and such were some of you. So Paul was saying, hey guys, I know that some of you were living in one or more of these 10 sins. I know that was your life prior to being converted. So he writes to them, and such were some of you. Now notice the past tense. That's important. If it's a present tense situation, then they will not be with God forever, but it's past tense. So he says to them, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So God took those filthy Corinthians and he thoroughly washed them clean in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He took every sin and he made them completely pure and holy and without sin in the sight of God. I mean, it doesn't matter what sin that anyone is involved in, the blood of Jesus is so precious and so powerful that it can take away every sin. It can wash us clean. Let's know that in Christ, there is forgiveness. We'll come back to that topic more at the end here, but let me go a little bit further on some other things first. So I want to talk about the growing LGBTQ support that we find out there in our nation today. So with same-sex marriage, back in 1996, I'm even surprised back then that 27% of people surveyed thought it was a good idea back then. But now in 2021, that percentage has increased all the way to 70%. Think that's okay? I mean, we become so corrupt that we don't even know right from wrong anymore. How can that be? And then think about Christian denominations, Christian churches that are affirming the LGBTQ lifestyle. There are over 40 of them that are doing that right within our nation. Just to shock you a little bit, here's the Episcopal Church. If you take a look closely at that image, you can see how that image is so different than what the Bible is teaching. Apparently, they've gone off and they're like completely doing their own thing and they have nothing to do with the Word of God. But can you imagine, though, that when they gather together for church, they are reading the Bible? Oh, I bet they are. What's the problem with that? That's increasing the deception. People are like, oh, I'm in a church building, they're reading the Bible, so that must be okay then. Here's another similar picture. Maybe that's a snapshot not from the Episcopal Church. Maybe that was a snapshot where they got together in Sodom right before God destroyed the city. But yet people are smiling. They think everything is fine. They don't even know, do they, how far away from God's word they have fallen. It's so important that we stay in the word so we don't get into the same situation. I want to share with you a quick story here about this pastor who was in the Christian Reformed Church. That church body actually decided to go with the Bible on the topic of LGBTQ. So that was a positive thing. We're glad that that church body did that. But this pastor in that church body, his name is Dave. He has a son who is gay. So when his church body decided, we're going to stick with the Bible, he's like, I can't tolerate that anymore. I'm leaving the church body, and I'm going to support my gay son. I care about my own children. I would do anything for them. But at the same time, though, we have to keep things in the proper order. So it's a little bit like what Jesus was saying in the gospel reading today about loving our children or our family more than God. We can't get into that situation. God always has to be number one. Whenever I think about myself, no matter what's going on in my family, I'm not going to change what I believe in order to agree with them. Now, I'm going to care about them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to urge them to go in the right direction. But I'm always going to stick with the Word of God. That has to be number one for us. And then we want to try to urge other people to come on board with us in the Word of God. But we're never going to change where we stand in order to support other people. We have a lot of that going on today. We have politicians right in Ohio, and they came out and they're campaigning and they're saying, this is what I stand for. This is what I believe. And then some of their children decided to go in a wrong direction. And what did those politicians do? They stopped standing on what we voted for. We put them into their position because they said they stood for this. And then once their children changed, then they started to vote in the other direction. Don't people today have any integrity? Don't they have a spine? Aren't they willing to say, I'm going to stand on the truth no matter what, and then to do it? We don't see much of that today, but that's what God wants us to do. And of course, when that happened to the disciples, what happened to them? Well, they were put to death. But God wants us to know the importance of continuing in Christ, continuing in God's truth all the way to the end. With the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, sad thing that they allow for LGBTQ plus marriage and also their clergy. So if you think about what's going on there, if you have the pastor of a congregation or you have the bishop of their entire church body who is professing to be LGBTQ, and if we mix that in with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, what do we have there? We have a person who is openly identifying his position. He is telling us, he or she is telling us that I will certainly not be with God forever. But here I am, though, as the pastor. Here I am as the leader of the whole church body. I certainly will not be with God forever based on what the Bible says. And then we have to think about, where is such a person leading that congregation? Where is such a person leading that church body? They're not leading them to eternal bliss. They are leading them to eternal punishment. I'm so surprised that people can sit in these congregations and they can hear this garbage that is being told to them, and they're not opening their own Bibles, and they're not calling the leaders of those congregations to account and say, why are you telling us things that disagree with God's holy word? I don't understand how that can happen in so many congregations today. Now, there are certainly some that are standing with the truth, and we praise God for that, but there are less and less for sure. What about with major corporations? Over 500 of them in our nation are supporting LGBTQ, and there are just so many of them out there, it's overwhelming. Just to give you a quick example, so of course we know with Budweiser and Bud Light. Now, if you're a beer drinker and you buy beer, you're not going to just avoid Bud Light, but let's understand, Budweiser makes about 30 or 40 different brands of beer. So if you want to avoid them, but honestly though, is it possible to even live in America and not do business with businesses who support LGBTQ? I don't think we can actually do that. We probably can't even find a company that doesn't support them. It's a sad situation. What about the Cleveland Browns? They're on board with it. What about the Cleveland Guardians? They're on board with it. And on and on and on. I could go on for, you know, hundreds or thousands of different companies that are right on board with this whole thing. What about the Girl Scouts? That seems like a wholesome organization. But this year, though, they created a special fun patch for Pride Month. It looks like this. And if you want to earn that patch, they have a listing of, I think there are about 20 different ways you can earn that patch. And one of the ways would be for you and your family or you and your troop to attend a gay pride parade and then write up about your experience in attending that parade. But there are so many other ways you can also gain that fun patch. Isn't that such a sad thing? What about with government? Some people in government are actually standing up for the truth. Praise God for that. But so many, though, have been pulled in a wrong direction that they don't really know anymore their right hand from their left. Let me give you a couple quick examples. So right here in Parma, last month, here's the Parma Observer. So right on the front here, we have that image, and it's showing Parma as being a supporter of LGBTQ. And who makes the decision on the photo of the month each month? That would be Parma's own Sean Brennan, who is a member of the Ohio House of Representatives. Used to be a Parma councilman, now he's moving up. People are supporting him. They think that's a great idea. And yet, what he's supporting is going to be the ruin of our city and our nation. He probably has no idea about that, though. Here's a positive situation. Perrin Mosca, a mayor in New Jersey, they were wanting him to fly the LGBTQ flag outside of town hall. He refused to do that, and he was put out of his position. It's not just Democrat, it's not just Republican. Everyone is involved in this. I believe in his situation, I think there were four people on the town council, three of them Republicans, one of them Democrat, and they were able to get a majority vote to put him out of his office. What about with the White House? If you go back to June 10th of this year, Joe Biden hosted the largest Pride celebration ever in White House history, and flying the American flags in that way is such poor flag etiquette. And if you saw some of the TV coverage of what was going on the front lawn of the White House, it was kind of a bit of a Sodom and Gomorrah kind of a situation right there on the White House lawn. Very sad situation. Many people thought that Pride Month was over at the end of June. However, though, just a few days ago, the Assistant Secretary of Health, who is, by the way, the first transgender official to win Senate confirmation, they made a change and decided Pride Month is not enough. Now we're transitioning into the Summer of Pride. When you think about this situation here, and I think about our nation just in so many ways, I'm afraid that much of the world, they must be so mocking us as a nation. They must see how very foolish we are as a nation. I think we are very weak as a nation. I think we are very vulnerable as a nation. And I'm praying that somehow, by the grace of God, we will repent before our enemies get with the program and decide, hey, now is the time to attack the United States of America. They are foolish, they are weak, they are vulnerable, they no longer trust in God. Let's take them now. I hope none of them come to that conclusion, because it would probably be a good idea from their perspective. We are in trouble in so, so many ways when our military is more concerned about what pronouns you are using rather than being a physically tough and mentally tough fighting force. We are in grave, grave trouble. I believe the USA has a choice. So we are at a crossroads here, if you will. We can keep opposing the Almighty God. I used to think that I'm old enough that I would be dead and gone before it got really that bad. But things have so much accelerated in the last 10 years that I think I'll still be here yet. I want a God-fearing nation for me, but I want it even much more for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and whoever is yet to come. Don't all of us want that? And yet, we are headed in such a wrong direction. So we could keep opposing God. Wouldn't it be a major thing? Here we are moving so steadily in this wrong direction. Wouldn't it be such a major thing for a roadblock to be thrown into that and us to start going in the other direction? That would take an act of the Almighty God by all means, but I pray that He will do that though. We so much need that as a nation. Let me conclude with some good news here as I conclude this three-part series. Some good ways to go forward. First of all, let's respect God by believing His word. Let's understand with the Bible, all scripture is inspired by God, or we could say all scripture is God-breathed, coming right out of the mouth of the Almighty God. This is to be respected in every way. Let's believe that Jesus is our sinless substitute. Again, we have been pointing the finger a bit at LGBTQ, But let's understand, though, that all of us are sinners. All of us need, desperately, we need a sinless Savior, and Jesus is the one. Look at there in Hebrews 4, Jesus has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. There have only been three people in all history without sin. Adam and Eve, of course, they fell pretty quickly, and then our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one who was tempted over and over and over and over again, and yet never did he fall. He lived that perfect life for you, for me, for everyone. Number three, believe that Jesus received our sins and our punishment, then he laid down his life. That's exactly what the Bible is teaching. Look at here in 1 John chapter 2, some good news for the whole world. Jesus is the way of forgiveness for our sins. And notice who's included here. And not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. No one is left out. No one is so sinful that they cannot receive God's forgiveness. God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's forgiveness is greater than our sin. Thanks be to God. Number four, believe that Jesus is ruling from paradise and will come again. When we think about what it says here in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus Christ is the ruler of the kings of the earth. So picture the earth here. You have the rulers of the world here. And they think, oh, we've got the money, we've got the power, we're in control, we can do anything we want. And yet many of them don't know that Jesus Christ is up here. He is the Son of God. He is ruling over those kings of the earth. If only these kings of the earth would respect our Lord Jesus Christ and trust in him and seek his will, they would be ruling over some of the most blessed nations in the world. And yet much of the world today, we have foolish, godless people as rulers, and that is ruining nations, and that is not a good thing for anyone in those nations or even for anyone in the world. May God open many eyes to the truth. And then think about what Jesus said here in Revelation 22. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. If people are living saying, oh, there is no God, there is no eternity, I can do whatever I want, and in the end, I die, and that's it. Then people will be inspired to do evil, thinking that when they die, that's it. If they understand that when they die, there is an eternity, and they're either going to die with repentance, and they're going to die in Christ, and they're going to enter eternal bliss, or they're going to die without repentance, and they're going to enter eternal torment. If people only knew that, wouldn't that kind of sober them up and say, oh, I don't want to get into that eternal torment. I need to dig into this book. I need to find out what the truth is. I want to be in a good place forever. People need to know that Christ is coming back. They need to know an eternity is coming for everyone. Number five, let us confess our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we get the idea and we're thinking, oh, I know I've got many, many sins and I'm thankful for God's forgiveness. Oh, what about these big ones over here? I'm not quite sure if God will forgive those or not. He wants us to know that when we are repentant, when we are in Christ, he forgives us for all of our sins. He washes us completely clean. We are even holy in his sight because of the great work and the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus for eternal life. None of us can live the life that God calls for. So he's saying, give up on your own goodness and trust in me. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. There is no other way. And we can understand that. God is saying, be holy I'm saying, oh God, I'm in trouble, I'm unholy. And then God is saying, oh, through my son, I will make you holy. Only through Jesus can we be made holy in the sight of God and have exactly what we need for eternal life. And then finally, how should we go forward in life? Let us thank and honor our great God by living for Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5, talking about Jesus here, he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. So think about it like this. I mean, here I was, I could say, living in my sin, on the way to eternal punishment, and honestly, not even realizing it. But what happened, though, God stepped into my life, God got my attention, God transformed my life, and he took me off the path to eternal punishment. He put me on the path to eternal bliss through my Lord Jesus Christ. So now, every moment of every day, I can breathe a sigh of relief and say, oh, dear Father in heaven, thank you so much that you took me off of that path, that you put me on this path. I am so filled with thanksgiving for what you have done for me. I am so grateful that I know my sins are forgiven. I'm so grateful that I know that when the time comes, you're going to welcome me to be with you forever. So how could we not honor our great God? How could we not live for the one who lived and died for us and is now our risen Savior and Lord? So when we just think about that, that should move us to go in that direction so very strongly. We know the verse here in Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We were that way for a long time. I don't believe we're that way today, but I believe that God could lead us to repent as a nation. Think about Nineveh. They were so wicked in Nineveh when Jonah called them to repent. Amazingly, they did repent. God was going to destroy them, and yet the Bible says he relented. He did not bring the destruction that he promised to bring. Now, not at that time. Unfortunately, they became wicked again, and much later, he did destroy them. But God is calling us to rightly honor him. He wants to show his blessing upon us. He wants us to be a nation that would not only be the greatest nation in the world, but would shine the light of Christ to the world, that would be a beacon of truth to the world. May God grant that we can get into that situation soon and even continue that way until the return of our Savior. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we thank you for giving us this information about our nation over the last 3 weeks. Sad information, but yet it's good to know it so we can know now our desperate need to repent. We pray for every individual person that you would show us our sins, grant us godly sorrow, and grant us trust in Jesus for our entrance into heaven. We also pray that you would change us. Do something radical, do something powerful, that we would again become a God-honoring nation. And then we pray, dear Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that you would again show your grace and mercy and favor upon the USA and bless us again. We ask it all in your holy name. Amen.